Hey, good evening, everybody. So let's get started. We had two shilas this week that I want to share with you. One shila was actually from last Erev Shabbos, like an hour before Shabbos. I got the following. Hi, Rabbi. My dog has an electronic collar to make sure that he doesn't stray outside of our property. In order to take him for a walk, we need to remove the collar. Is it mutter to do that on Shabbos? What about putting it back on once we come back from the walk? Anyone familiar with these? Anyone have a dog here? Yeah? Does it have one of these collars?
No.
Are you familiar with it?
It's not that collar.
You got, yeah? What does it do?
Like when it leaves the boundaries of the house, it'll shock
them. It'll shock the dog. Yeah, it's a very nice thing to do to your dog. Right?
Yeah.
So, meaning maybe that's like part of the shaila, right? Should you do this for a dog? I know someone told me that he's a dog owner, and before he got such a collar, he wanted to make sure it wasn't too inhumane, so he put it on himself first. Yeah, that's crazy. What? How was it? I don't know. Probably didn't tickle. I don't know. But that was the... okay, so that is shaila number one. Is there a problem with taking off that collar in order to take the dog for a walk, putting the collar back on when the dog gets back home? Is it just like the dog has to like power through that perimeter and then once he's through, he's good? Or will it keep shocking him?
It'll probably keep shocking him?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, another shaila. Shaila from a rabbi of a shul in a smaller Jewish community, not a smaller Orthodox community. It was a shul, just a little background for the shaila I think is important. It's a shul that was founded as an Orthodox shul, chartered as an Orthodox shul, but in the 1960s it removed its mechitza. Now, just in 2022, reinstated the mechitza. They hired a rabbi to who's an Orthodox rabbi. They always had officially Orthodox rabbis, but never like really Orthodox rabbis. So they hired like a really Orthodox rabbi, and they put the mechitza back into the shul. And the rabbi left me a voice note that said as follows. He said, I wanted to talk to you about counting somebody in a minyan. It's a rather difficult situation. Basically, a son of a congregant is not a bar das. I am in this position as a rabbi of the shul for only 6 months. There is a congregant who is a woman in her 50s, and in the short time that I've been here, I see that she is completely not frum. She drives to shul on Shabbos. But she has become a huge supporter of mine and is critical to our efforts to improve the ruchnias here. Her son has very extreme autism. He can't talk. He needs 24-hour supervision. He has bit his mother before. I don't believe that he is a bar das by any definition. The mother doesn't know about halachos of anything, and we're struggling to get a minyan. She keeps signing him up for a minyan, meaning he keeps sending out emails, need help for a minyan, and she keeps signing him up for a minyan, she brings him. There will be times that the mother will bring him to the minyan. How can I call her and say, you know that son who is such a big pekala in your life as it is, we can't count him for a minyan either. You know, the community and its other organizations have embraced this boy. Well, Chabad and others. What if he shows up and he is the 10th? Can we say Kaddish and Kedusha? It is so critical to maintain a strong relationship with his mother here. So that is shaila number two. Okay, a little bit of a longer shaila. So shaila number one, the dog collar on Shabbos, taking him out for the walk. And shaila number two, the rabbi wanting to count the autistic child toward a minyan in order to keep a good relationship with said child's mother. Let's vote in real time, in real life, and then on Zoom. All those who want shaila number one, show of hands. All of you? All those who want to shout out number two? Okay, more? Let's see, a lot more. Let's see what the Zoom. Yeah, it's unanimous on Zoom also. No one wanted to talk about dog collars. All right, last week in my shul on Friday, on at Shalosh Shuls, we spoke about the dog collar shayla. So someone wanted to talk about it. I guess it had a lighter competition. What do you have to talk about in order to be able to answer the shayla? So you need to know a couple of things. First of all, who can and cannot count toward a minyan. Second of all, what about b'shas adchak? Do the rules change if it's a shas adchak? Does this constitute a shas adchak? Meaning, would this qualify as a shas adchak? And what is the status of this child? Meaning, does he fit into any category? Right? We know of certain categories in halacha, people who are not yet, or who do not have das, right? What are some categories of people who are not a bar das? Shota, katan, cheresh, right? Meaning that, so where does this child fit in terms of those categories? And that's really the first question we should probably be asking, right? Where the child fits in those categories, and then figure out whether his category is someone that can count toward a minion. So Rav Shach used to always tell us that developmentally disabled people are not a shota. A shota is defined, if you look in the Gemara's examples in the Masechta Chagiga of what a shota is a person who's deranged, who does things that a deranged person would do. You know, running around naked, sleeping in a cemetery, like doing things that are just like off the rails, you know, kind of, you know, things that a person who needs to be probably hospitalized in a psychiatric ward, kind of things, right? Those kinds of things that such a person would do. A developmentally disabled person, a person with a very low IQ, or is not, has not, you know, something of that nature, is not a shoter. Shachter used to tell us that more likely fits into the category of a cheresh. A cheresh now really means someone who's deaf, but the way it used to be is that someone who was deaf would never be able to be educated and therefore would never be able to develop intellectually. So Rav Shachter thought it fit better into that category, right? The Ksav Sofer as tshuvas now. What about nowadays where they're able to educate deaf people and they're able to read and to write and they can get PhDs and they can, you know, because there are ways to communicate even if a person is deaf mute. There are ways that they're able to communicate and develop an intellect and an understanding and sensitivity and all of the things that everybody else develops in terms of intellect and emotional intelligence and all of those things. So then maybe probably a cheresh of such a cheresh like that wouldn't have a din of a cheresh. So who does have a din of a cheresh? Someone who's not able to develop. So that's how Rav Shechter, if I recall correctly, that's how Rav Shechter was magdir. But the thing with developmental disabilities is that if you have 100 people with developmental disabilities, you likely have 100 different levels of that spectrum. There's 100 different spots on the spectrum and with nuances of difference in terms of some may be stronger intellectually but weaker emotionally, some may be stronger emotionally, weaker. There's so many differences, very, very hard to give like a clear rule of who is a bar das and who's not a bar das. I remember I once asked Rav Shechter about a bar mitzvah boy who was developmentally disabled and can he get an aliyah and can he lane for the shul. And essentially what he said, he didn't say it in these words, but essentially he said, if he can lane for the shul, then he could probably lane for the shul. Meaning if he's developed enough that he can learn the laning, right, so he's probably enough of a bar das. You know, there are plenty of bar mitzvah boys that are not developmentally disabled and don't do such a, outstanding job on the lady. There are plenty of adults, you know, that can with the nekudos and the trup can't pronounce the words of the Haftarah, right? Meaning that if he could lane for the shul, then he could probably. So Rav Shechter said, if I recall correctly, he said something along the lines of, if he knows to put on a coat when it's cold outside and to take off his coat when he's hot, you know, things like that. And he knows to eat when he's hungry, you know, to he could take care of himself to that extent. Then it's probably enough of a bar das. I spoke to Rabbi Willig this morning. I said, this child is probably a cheresh. Rabbi Willig said, nah, cheresh is deaf. What are you talking about? That's not a cheresh. So I said, what, he's not a shota? So what is he? So he said, it's a different category, a pesi. It's called a pesi. So whatever word you want to use, it's the same idea, whether you call it pesi or a cheresh or someone who's, I think the term in Hebrew is mugbal, right? What does mugbal mean? Limited, that they're limited in their understanding of things or whatever it might be. Now the Rambam writes when he talks in Hilchos Eidos about a shota being pasul Eidos, he writes v'lo shota shu mahalich ha'orum u'mishaber kelim v'zorik ha'avana b'lvad, that a shota is not only someone who walks around naked and breaks kelim and throws rocks, elu kol mi shenitrufa v'nimtzeis daito m'shubeshes tamid b'dover min ha'dvarim, that if someone is not able to think and as his das is mishubash in any matter, apple pishu medaber b'shol ke'inyan b'shar dvar mareis apostle b'chal shota mi'chashev, even though he's normal in other ways, he's still considered a shota. Now that's a totally different category also. I mean, sometimes you have a person who's totally normal, totally functional, but he's got one mishigas. Remember we did a shayla last year, someone in yeshiva told me that he was davening in the shul in the heights, not on the other side of the heights, not on this side of the heights, but on the third side of the heights, you know, the part where you don't want to go. So there's a shul in that they're trying to keep alive. So a bunch of why you guys go, and the guy said that he met a guy who thought he was Mashiach. And they said, he's an accountant, he lives a normal life, he has an apartment, he pays his rent. He's just got one little mishigas. He just thinks he's Mashiach. Other than that, he's like totally normal, right? So if you have a situation like that, so that's probably what the Rambam is talking about. But this situation probably is a cherish, which is the equivalent probably of a katan, right? So the question then becomes, we don't really have an explicit discussion in Shulchan Aruch about a cherish counting toward a minyan in as explicit a way as you would want it to be, but we do have as follows. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman on Hesiv Ches writes, "Cheresh hamedaber ve'eno shomea o shomea ve'eno medaber hein kepikchenu mitstarfin. Av mi she'eno shomea ve'eno medaber harei kishot v'katan." Shulchan Aruch says that a cheresh who's eino shomea ve'eno medaber, he can't speak or hear, is like a shot of a katan. So again, this guy can speak. Well, I don't know. He said he can't speak. Actually, he can hear though, but he's not a bar das. So probably he has a din like a katan. The Bir Alacha over there writes that ha'emes who k'divrei magen avram divrei maril inam rakam endem the katan mutul barisim mitzdarif alfima the kaimel the katan mutul barisim endem mitzdarif chereshovto v'shoto lo adifi mikatan mutul barisa. Bir Alacha says, you know, maybe there's a difference between a katan on the one hand and a cherish v'shota on the other hand. See, because katan is also a broad range. There are infants, right? There are katanim that are in a crib, and then there are katanim that are 12 and a half years old and, you know, are writing code and, you know, I don't know, whether, you know, that are doing all sorts of, you know, highly intellectual things. So there's a range in katanim. So Bir Alacha raises the possibility that maybe if there's a machlokas about which kind of katan could be mitzdarif to a minyan, that if a katan needs to be of a certain level of das be mitzdarif to a minyan, then cherish v'shota are out. But maybe if you hold that a katan amutal barisa, that a katan that's in his crib can count toward a minyan, then cherish v'shota should be in as well. So now we just have to figure out, can a katan count toward a minyan? Meaning, if you hold, so I'm really attacking this a little bit backwards, right? The right way to go about this, now that we know that a cherish is like a katan, the right way to have gone about this would be like, okay, what's the status of a katan? Can a katan count toward a minyan or not? If he can, is that true of any katan or only of older katanim? If it's true of any katan, are a cherish and shota the same, right? That would be the way to approach it. So let's take a look a little bit at the sugya of a katan being with starif to a minyan. So what do you know about a katan being with starif to a minyan? Have you heard of anyone here grow up in a small town, small community, where you had trouble getting a minyan at times and Shabbos or whatever? What? Holds a chumash, right? So the people generally who grew up in New York never heard of this, and they're shocked to hear that it's something that people do, that some communities do, where they give a kid a chumash and they count him toward a minyan. So is that a thing? Like, where does that come from? So most of the sources I'm going to quote for you tonight, if I could do a quick plug over here, is in Sefer HaKodesh Olam HaChelek Aleph, available at the Svarim Cell, right down the block. We finish before it closes. Okay, so the Gemara, we're going to try to make it a little bit shorter, you know, because it's a big sugya. But the Gemara essentially tells us in Maseches Brachos, well, let's start with this. How do I know you even need a minyan? Where does it say that you need a minyan to say Dvar Moshe B'Kedusha? So the Gemara derives it from Adas Korach, that we derive from Korach V'Adaso, that an Eda means a minyan, and therefore, for Dvar Moshe B'Kedusha, V'Nikdashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael, we learn Toch, Eda, so V'Nikdashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael, for Dvar Moshe B'Kedusha, you need a minyan. Yerushalmi doesn't learn from Adas Korach. The Yerushalmi actually learns from the Shvatim, that the Shvatim were Asara, that Vayevo'u b'nei Yisrael lishbor bor b'toch ha-ba'im ma toch ha-malalon Asara avkan Asara. And Rav Vadya in Yabia Omer Chelet Dalet or Chaim Simon Tess says that maybe a nafkamina between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi is that if you learn it from the Shvatim, says Rav Vadya, don mina umina, and be loyal to that limud. By the Shvatim, they were all gedolim, so a katan would not be mitzarev to a minyan. However, if you say like the Bavli, that we learn from Adas Korach, he badlu mitocha eda hara'a hazos, Well, who was included in Adas Korach? Their families. It says Yatzu Nitzavim Pesach Aleim Heim Unasheyem Upneyem V'Tapam. Right, they were all included in the Adas Korach. So maybe a child would be able to be mitzarif to a minyan as well. So that's Rav Avadya's interesting potential chiddush. But let's talk la halacha, right? Where do we ever see that a child can be mitzarif to a minyan? So the Gemara doesn't actually talk about it. Gemara talks about a child being mitzarif to a zimun, and the Gemara talks about an Arun Kodesh being mitzarif to a minyan, which is a funny thing to say, right? But the Gemara says that that Tisha v'Arun mitzarfin. So the Gemara asks, what, Arun Gavru? Is the Arun a person? How could it be that Tisha v'Arun mitzarfin? So the Gemara says, no, it means that if you have Tisha that look like Asara, that are near a Asara, then it's mitzarif. That's what Rav Huna says. What does it mean that you have nine people that look like 10 people? One of the guy has to be a double-sized person, right? So what does it mean nine people look like 10 people? So the Gemara has two dayos. Some say one day is that the more scattered they are throughout the room, the more they look like a bigger crowd than they are, right? And the other day is that the more crunched in together that they are, right? Whenever if you're ever the rabbi or president of a shul and you invite a guest speaker, and very few people show up, so you gotta figure out which of these deos is more correct. If you want to make it look respectable, do you like squeeze them into one small area, or do you have different people two tables apart from each other all throughout the shul, right? Two days in the Gemara, what makes it look like a bigger crowd? The maskara of the Gemara is like Rav Nachman, that a katan yodei lemim mevarchin. If a katan is yodei lemim mevarchin, mizamnin alav, but it doesn't talk about me mitzarif to a minyan. So Tosos and Brachos and Daf Memches says, yeah, yesh mitzarfim katan l'tfila, rak shei chumish biyado. You can count a katan to a minyan. You just got to put a chumish in his hand, says Tosos. Comes along Rabbeinu Tam, va'om Rabbeinu Tam, diminag shtusu. That is absurd, he says. Digiechi damar atu arun gavruhu, hachanami atu chumish gavruhu. Well, the same way the Gemara says, what, you think the Aron is a Gavra? The same thing we can say about the Chumash. You think the Chumash is a Gavra? Va'od, hadukam or katam mitzarif, I don't know if you look below Chumash. When we say katam mitzarif to the Zimun, never say anything about a Chumash. So if you want to pass like the day that a katam is mitzarif in the Gemara, you don't need a Chumash. And what does a Chumash do? Lo chazin b'shum duchta demahani. He says, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me that there is a source for it, because there's a Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that when it comes to Ibur Hashana, Rabbi Elazar holds you need a minyan, v'nismatu mevi'in sefer Torah va'usnagula. And the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, if you don't have a minyan, at least bring a sefer Torah. So it says Tosfos, yeah, but that's also not a good source. Because what does it say? If you don't have a minyan, bring a sefer Torah. It does not say, what does it not say? Bring a child with the sefer Torah. Meaning that's saying, if you don't have a minion, so the Sefer Torah instead of the minion. But never do we find, says Tosfos, that a child carrying a Sefer Torah is anything. So how do we paskin l'alacha? You had one day in Tosfos that says that it does count. Second day in Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam saying, absolutely not, there's no source for it, there's no raya, nowhere does it say anything like that. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskins, or Chaim Simon Nun Hesef Dalit. Yesh matirin lomar davar shebekdusha betisha v'tziruv katan shu yoser mi ben sheish v'yodea l'mim espalilin. That some hold that it's mutter to count a katan. No mention of a Sefer Torah, but a katan, as long as he is 6 years old and he knows that about Hashem, he knows what you're doing, he knows that you're davening to Hashem, then comes, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'lo nirin divrayim l'gedolei aposkim v'adin david v'yishayim mitzarf. He says the Gedolei HaPoskim do not agree with this, and therefore an Eved Isha are also not mitzarif. So Shulchan Aruch, at the end of the day, he gave us a little, he opened the door a crack, right? He gave us a little bit, because there's a Deya quoted in Shulchan Aruch that says that it's mutter. He then rejected it, right? But a Deya quoted in Shulchan Aruch says that a katan is mutter, to be mitzarif to a minyan. Says the Ramah for us Ashkenazim, v'afilu al yidei chumish shebiyado ein letzarfa. And even with the Chumash, he says, I know what you're thinking, the Ramah says. You're thinking, I heard something about a Chumash. No, even with the Chumash, do not count him toward a minyan. Then says the Rama, Miyu Yeshnog in the Hakal B'Shasat Chak. Or the Shasat Chak, Minig is to be made. Or there are those that are known to be made. So it's interesting. The Mechaber started off very promising and then slammed that door shut on us, right? The Rama started off slamming the door shut and then opened it back up a crack, right? He said, even Chumash doesn't help, unless, it's a Shasat Chak, then, then it's okay. Now, it's not clear in the Rama when he says, Miyu Yeshnog in Lahakal B'Shasat Chak, does he mean Yeshnog in with a Chumash, or to be Mekel with a Chumash, or Yeshnog in to be Mekel without a Chumash, right? The Rama doesn't say that explicitly. He just got finished saying, and Chumash doesn't work. So he says, Miyu Yeshnog in Lahakal, does that mean with the chumash, or does he still hold the chumash doesn't work? It's just that a katan might work, meaning just having the katan alone without the chumash is going to work. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a levush that he says he's never seen, even in a shasat chak, that the mitzvah for katan. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes that halacha lemaisu we paskan like the levush. In fact, in the hagos of the Marsham that are printed, he quotes from some other tshuva. He says, "Odiacha sheyeshulcha lotzeis mi beis haknesses kisha mitzarfen katan la'asara v'lo tavu takal al yadcha." That's a pretty strong stance. He says, if you're in a minyan where there, you look around, there are nine adults and they have a kid holding on to a sefer Torah, walk out. And if you walk out, then they won't have a minyan, and at least they won't say brach levatal and say dvar mishem kedusha. That's a pretty strong stance, the chumrah that you have to take. That's imagine you're in a shul, there's a rabbi. There's a minhag, they're counting the katan, and you say, no, and you walk out, right? Only Jews. The Mishnah Berurah writes that Bismanenu, the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, we're knowing to be mitzari for katan with the chumash of the yado. So it sounds that if there's a minhag, you could be somech on that minhag. I even saw in the Tshuvah Shraga HaMeir, he writes, Bididi hava uvta bikatnusi. I remember as a kid, I used to always be the kid, the one carrying the chumash so that we could make a minyan. So, there is precedent for it. So you have 2 days in Mechaber, 2 days in Ramah, 2 days in Mishnah Berurah, right? But at least you see that there's Makom LaHakel B'Shas L'Chak. Rav Moshe discusses this in Tshuva in Aruch Chaim Chelek Beis Simin Yilches. And he says, Yesh letzarif katanim sefer Torah b'shas al-chak. And he says, because the whole need for a minyan, for a darvish of a kedusha, is only din midrabanan to begin with. Right? And therefore, even though most poskim say you should not be mitzarif a katan, he says, I'll tell you a rule. You're allowed to be somech on a das yachid b'shas al-chak on a din drabanan. When the whole thing is a din drabanan, you can be somech on a das yachid b'shas al-chak, especially since that das yachid are real Gedolei Harishonim, like Rav Haigon, the Rif, the Balamar, and Rabbeinu Tam. There are more Shitos that hold the other way, but these are real Gedolei Harishonim. I'm curious to know, I've never seen in a Tshuva Sefer where someone says, look, it's a Shita and Rishonim, but these are weak Rishonim, and then list the Rishonim that they don't hold up or think are Shvach and Mises of you. What kind of Rishonim are these? I've never seen that, but Rav Moshe says, these are big Rishonim. Most of the ones you heard of are big Rishonim, right? The ones you never heard of, Rav Shachter often likes to say that just like nowadays there are Tamid Chavim and there are Amaratzim and there are people that are writing Svarim that don't make any sense. In the times of the Rishonim, there was the same. There were big Tamid Chavim and there were also people writing Svarim that didn't make any sense. Every time they stumble across a Ksav Yad that happened to have been written 600 years ago, it does not mean it's intelligent. Rav Shachter thought that they shouldn't be running to publish all of these things, my Rabbi Rav Silver from Kerem Yavne used to say, he's like, you're going to tell me the Tosfos Chachmei, whatever, Africa, I don't even know if that exists, but whatever, that it's more important than the Ktzais, there's no way, just because it's a Rishon, just because they happen to have been written in the times of the Rishonim. But anyway, Rav Moshe writes that over here it's a serious Shita in Rishonim, and it's a Din D'Rabbanan, so you should be Somech B'Shas HaChak. So he writes, but ideally, the katan should be 12 years old, a muflas samach le'ish, because there are different levels of das. We think of it as bar das or lav bar das, but we paskin that there's a certain level of das that's needed to take nedarim, another level of das needed to be chayiv in mitzvos, in all mitzvos. There's an even higher level of das, right? V'hem zub chayim about kiddush, gittin v'kiddushin, right? For that, where you even need for gittin v'kiddushin, you need edus l'kiyum adover to reflect the highest level of das, right? So there are all these different levels of das. So a mufla samuch l'ish has enough das to take nadarm. So a 12-year-old boy, 11-year-old girl, 12-year-old boy has enough das to make nadarm. Says Rav Moshe, at least try to get someone who's of that level of das. Then Rav Moshe says, and a chumash, probably what they meant by a chumash was a scroll. We don't have scroll chumashim. We have art scroll chumashim, but we don't have chumashim in a scroll. So he says, what you should do instead is get a Sefer Torah and have the child hold the Sefer Torah. That sounds like a really stupid idea, right? To have a child hold the Sefer Torah. So he says, no. Put the Sefer Torah, like my shul and Simchas Torah, we have a rule. No one under bar mitzvah is allowed to carry a Sefer Torah. Because I've read too many tshuvas. All the tshuvas that I read start with, about a fallen Sefer Torah start with, it was a Simchas Torah day. You know, and a kid was holding a Sefer Torah. Right, so we have that rule. But so says Rav Moshe, no, I'm not telling you that you should hold the Sefer Torah. Put the Sefer Torah on the bima and have a child hold the Atzei Chaim. Let him hold on to the handle of the Sefer Torah. Now, so here we see b'shas hadchak is mutter. Okay, now we have to figure out, how do you define shas hadchak? How big of a shas hadchak is a shas hadchak? Broad range. Rav Moshe writes that even if there's another shul down the block and everyone will be able to just go there and daven, and even if the shir that happens in this shul before davening, you know, you could learn elsewhere also, but it's not going to be as geschmack because it's not your place. That's also shas hadchak. Most things that's also shas hadchak. Now that is a very, very big kula. The Marsham writes differently. The Marsham writes he was asked about a minion in a certain gvir's house, and veruach chadasha nosus abikirbo. This gvir had a certain idea of how davening is supposed to go, and in his mind, davening should be silent. So no one should answer a main too loudly. No one should daven b'kol. No, you know, with any. And so, which is, you know, that level of decorum is something that's taken from Christians, right? That's a church thing. We don't believe in decorum. I don't mean that we think we should be schmoozing all the time. We believe that davening should be vibrant. Shachar often points out, Psukei Dezimra is called Psukei Dezimra because you're supposed to be singing it. You're supposed to be saying the whole thing out loud in song. It happens to be, you know, many shuls daven so fast that you couldn't say it all out loud. They would have to slow down because the reality is they're not able to say all those words out loud. I walked into the Rebbe's room on the sixth floor today, and Rav Shechter was sitting there all alone, and he was saying an alamichya. I walked in the middle of his alamichya. He was saying it out loud. He was sitting there alone. I walked in the middle. I made a coffee, added some sugar, stirred it. Walked out, he was still in the middle of his alamichya, meaning a curing, not like just quickly stirring. You had to wait for him, you know. He was still in the middle of his alamichya. He's the only person I know that spends more time thanking Hashem for the food than he does eating the food. You know, that's what we believe in, a vibrant. So says the Marsham, in this case, that's a shas hadchak. That's enough of a shas hadchak. Then there are others that say that, oh, shas hadchak would only mean if there's going to be hisrashlus in the minion in long term, then everyone's going to realize this is not a reliable minion, and if it's not a reliable minion, they're not going to come to it anymore. So maybe that's a shas hadchak. L'chora, in this situation, it is that kind of shas hadchak, because if people start seeing that they're not getting a minion and they're never able to do dvarim shebe kedusha, they're going to stop coming, and that's a real problem. So l'chora, this does qualify as a shas hadchak. So if it were a katan that we were being asked about, there's plenty of room to be mekil, to have a katan holding a Sefer Torah. Rav Shakta told us, Rav Salvejik thought, holding a Sefer Torah is amaratzos. Don't have, I mean, like Rabbeinu Tam, that there's no reason to have him hold the Sefer Torah, just have the katan there. He doesn't need to be holding the Sefer Torah. So there's plenty of room to be mekil. What? Maybe even without a Sefer Torah, yeah. So we could, plenty of room to make. The problem is, this case is not a katan. This case is a very, very severely autistic person. So what did the Shulchan Aruch say? He's got to be at the level of a 6-year-old. So I spoke to Rabbi Willig this morning. He said, just because he bites his mother And just because he needs Shmira doesn't mean that he doesn't know that we're davening to Hashem. Meaning, it's complicated. You have to really be able to answer that detail. And if he knows that we're davening to Hashem, it could be that it counts. You also have the Bir Halacha that says that there is a daya that even a katan mutal barisa counts. A katan in a crib counts. So maybe, according to that daya, even though the Bir Halacha doesn't like it, maybe, according to that daya, you could be misari to this guy as well. So what I told the rabbi is, try your best to get a minion. If you can't get a minion, try your best to get a child, like an actual child. And if you can't get a child and you're stuck and it happens to be, there's makom lahakel. There's makom lahakel, very little makom lahakel, but considering the circumstance, maybe makom lahakel b'shas etchak gadol ad ma'od. But that's how we left it. Okay, everyone have a great week, and I'll see you next week. Oh, I got some notes in the Zoom. When I was growing up, the older men in shul used to say, "Give him a chumash." When there was a katan and nine men, but I never saw anyone actually do it. I was in a shtibul for Simchas Torah when I was 12. They had about 25 people and split into two minyanim for Kriyas Torah. I was the 10th man at the second minyan holding an art scroll Gemara. That doesn't seem right. Okay.